And welcome, everyone. Welcome back for 2020 to Inside BU Hockey. Inside BU Hockey for 2020. Once again, we are sponsored by our good friends at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel on Mass Ave over in Lexington for the best bagel in town, homemade right on the premises. And as always, we have an opportunity to get some answers from Albie. Boston University head coach Albie O'Connell is with us as the Terriers have turned now to back to regular season play here in 2020. Coach, last week turned out to be a split decision. You won your third in a row in dramatic fashion in overtime against Brown on Wednesday at Aganis before heading out on the road. So just looking back to that one, I know it's kind of a big sigh of relief to be able to pick that game up in overtime and come away with a big non-conference victory.
Yeah, it was. We overall, you know, played a decent game. You know, the first period especially, we started out well and we were down 2-0 and we had to claw back. So it was, the guys stuck with it, and we had obviously a big play in overtime. We had a chance right before that, right off the crossbar, and then the one timer with Skoog burying it. There was a good 2 points. It was a big win, and it kept us on the right side of it.
Funny thing about hockey, Albie, you've been around it a little bit. I have. Where you can say definitively you play your best period and you can be down 2-0. There's not a lot of sports where you can really say that, but there's a thing called the goalie involved and some other factors in terms of the bounce of the puck, but that was really one of those type of nights.
Yeah, I know it was. I thought it was pretty similar to, you know, Dartmouth. You know, I thought for the most part we outplayed them for most of the first period and we got a lead and ended up with 3 goals in the back of our net all of a sudden. So it was just, it's frustrating because, you know, puck shouldn't go in that easy, and we got to do a little bit better job defending on rebounds. You know, 2 of them were rebounds and just pucks lying there. Not great rebounds, but rebounds, and those are defendable plays. So we have to be better at picking up guys in front of our own net.
Yeah, looking back on we'll talk about Wilmer Skoog in a moment there. Tough to not talk about him with his debut last week. But when you talk about last week's game, you got out of the gate strong. You had the 3-0 lead. Things were going well for you. And you killed 2 power plays. And then what seemed to be, well, let's just say a call you don't see that often, gave them that third power play, and you didn't survive that third one. They were able to get their first goal and get a little jump start.
Well, I think we gave them every opportunity to score on the third one. You know, call or not, it was, the explanation was that Cam Crotty caught the puck, fell down, and then tried to advance it, whereas he caught it and it got hit was the way we kind of saw it. But, you know, even with that, you know, we do a good job in the first minute of the power play. We get out there, and instead of trying to make a 200-foot clear, we try to make a pass, like a chip pass. Then we try to carry the puck out, 2 turnovers, and then our D did a good job, and then we had 2 ensuing missed block shots. And then they got a puck down to the net. You know, if you're not going to block shots on the penalty kill, you're not going to be on it.
And was obviously interesting to note the fact that your offensive contributions came from the hard work of some of your guys that may be least likely to get on the score sheet. It was good to see guys like Steven Chabot and the Q-man rewarded there for getting you off to that lead. They did some great work below the dots.
Yeah, you could add Brink, you could add DeBoer. Those guys did a really good job on Shabbat's goal. Ferentz made a highlight reel play, kind of went end-to-end and threw a little slide pass over to Shabbat, and he shot it in. And then the hard-working goal by Stevens was, it started on a good forecheck, good F1, and he hammered a guy, knocked a guy down. And then we had 5 guys up, and they had 1 guy on the ground trying to play defense, and we did a good job of managing the puck, and you know, we took it to the back of the net and tried to wrap it, and Wisey just missed it, and Steve-O was at the net, and we scored. And the last goal, Shabbat made a high-end play, but it all started off the forecheck. Debo was in there by himself. He used his body and hammered a guy and then protected the puck on another one and then slid it to the soft area, and Shabbat, you know, pulled it to the net, and we had Q at the net, and Q's got the most goals in the country. Like 6 inches from the net, so he does a good job of getting there and using his body, and he's pretty good in that area. So it's, you know, six goals for him now. So he's having a good campaign, and he's scoring the right way.
Yeah, he's certainly factored in, been a good offensive contributor for you. Just a word on Sam Stevens. Once again, we talked on the Hockey East show. I really like Stamp Stevens from just seeing him in that one game, and then he was gone for a long time. But he can be a real key guy for you with what he brings to the table here each night.
Well, he plays the right way. He plays all three zones. He's really smart. Really never goes off the rails. You know, he plays the right way. Positionally, he's good. He's good on the faceoff dot. He's got more skill than people give him credit for. He can really wire a puck. And he just knows what to do out there. Once he gets a little bit more physically strong, and we like what he's going to become. You know, he hasn't had a ton of games, but he's been really effective. I thought the Brown game he was okay. He wasn't moving his feet, and then he rebounded and had a great game. So we're very happy that he decided to join the Terriers, and he's going to be a really good player. And centermen are hard to come by, and guys that play in three zones and know how to play defense and know how to play off faceoffs. He's been a good addition.
One of the things that's got to make you not just feel good about this weekend is you're going to be getting back into really the meat of the schedule in Hockey East play is the look of the center position right now, as opposed to the look the beginning of the year and as the season went on with some of the injury issues. And a big part of that is adding Wilmer Skoog. And you knew you had something that was going to be potentially impactful, but for him to get the overtime flair for the dramatic, the overtime goal. And I'm going to have to ask him how much lacrosse he played, but that was certainly quite an effort there with the goal that he got on Saturday. He got a little Sports Center attention.
Yeah, it was. You see that goal quite a bit. You know, when I think we were in the NCAAs, maybe my freshman or sophomore year, when the guy from Michigan scored it originally versus Minnesota there. That's the first time anyone kind of really, you know, antenna went up, and now all of a sudden 20 years later it's a popular thing again, I guess. But guys are scoring it. Guys are scoring in the NHL. Guys have been scoring in the minors for years. And it was, you know, he did it twice in juniors last season, and then he's pretty good at it. So, and more importantly, he gives us stability over the faceoff dot. He knows how to support the puck. He's been well trained, well coached. He's got really good sense. He's got a physicality to him, and we get added a 6'2", 200-pound center who's got the ability to break a game open with a play and make a high-level play, but is very comfortable making the simple play.
Yeah, offensive side, obviously, big offensive upside, but also with an edge.
Yeah, no, he plays hard. He's physical, and over the faceoff deck, you can see the other centerman's getting frustrated because he does a good job of winning and using his body and giving a guy a shot. And he's a little bit on the edge, and he's we're happy that he's here, and you know, right after Christmas, it's a huge addition, especially with Ty going down for the year. To have him in here now has been a big bonus for the team.
He gave you the lead 4-3 at that chaotic third period there up at Dartmouth. And then Drew O'Connor, I mean, he's reputation, one of the top forwards in the ECAC, one of the top guys really, I think, in the country. He ranks up there. He got a couple of quick ones to put the game away. It seemed like you're kind of back on your heels, or kind of stunned by that.
A little bit. Like, I think they had a little bit of luck on their side. You know, Casper goes to play the guy, and his stick got caught in between the post and our goalie and wiped the goalie's feet out, and he came out and threw kind of a piece of nothing on the net, and it went in. Our goalie was like on his back trying to recover. The next play was just a turnover on us, you know, and ended up leading to a nice play by them, and he was alone with the goalie and he just let it by him. He made a nice play. He was a factor physically in the game. He's a big kid. He ended up being a factor on the score sheet there. But that game was it was extremely winnable. You know, I thought in moments of the game, most moments we played the right way. We probably had 7, 8, 9 moments in the game where we didn't do something that we were supposed to do, and the puck ended up in the back of our net, which is, you know, you want more saves. But at the same time, I thought our coverage at times wasn't good enough. And I thought our shot blocking wasn't good enough and our puck manage wasn't good enough. If we're gonna try to make a push here in the second half of the year, we've got to defend better, and we got to play smarter with the puck.
Big part of the message this week for practice was just being more thorough.
Yeah, that and, you know, getting on the wrong side of people in the D zone. We worked on some defensive zone coverage. You know, shot blocking is a tough one to to work on. You could use tennis balls, you can use rubber pucks, and you know, you don't want guys getting hurt. Steve-O broke his foot earlier this year because he blocked a shot in practice. He made a kick save, and we don't want guys getting hurt. But you know, if they got hurt in the game, that's a different story. But they just it's more of a willingness, and putting guys in situations to succeed. I felt that in that moment there, you know, we'll take the blame. We had the wrong guys on the ice. Not that they're not great players, but we you know, with 50 seconds to go in that penalty kill, we get out of that penalty kill. We get out of that period. That game's over. So we didn't have the right guys on the ice, and I'll take the blame for that.
Looking ahead here this week, and obviously over the course of the year, there's always a fluidity to any team's lineup with guys in and out, health issues, et cetera. You're looking to be, I would say, arguably as healthy as you've been all year for this week. I know that the status of Logan Cockrell has been discussed over the last couple of weeks, that he's close. As you get ready for Merrimack and Boston College, how are things shaking out here?
Good. It's nice to have more bodies on the ice, just from a practice standpoint. And Logan looks good. You know, he's been skating for a few weeks now, and you know, he's ready to go. And the only really guy that is not available to us is Armstrong, and he's doing pretty well. So we should have a full complement in the next short time. So I'm hoping that he can get on the ice next week and get back in, and because he adds an element to the team that's different. You know, some responsibility, some physicality. He's got a great shot. He plays really hard. He averages, like Q, you know, and Brink, 5 to 7 hits a game. So they've when those guys are on the ice, there's body contact, which in turn will lead the team to have an image and have some physicality to them, at least on each line.
That's right. That Avon connection was working out good there. Was it the wing Beaver line there?
Yeah, they were really good versus Harvard, and they were really good versus Northeastern there. And he brings a simplicity and a physicality, and he skates well. He's a good complement for those guys, especially on that line. Because when we've put some other guys on that line, they lean on playing like those two other guys, and it just doesn't work. You have three guys playing that same way. Those two guys are playing more of a skilled game and a puck pursuit game, and they just need someone to forecheck and have some physicality and someone that'll spend more time at the net. So he was a good addition, but we'll see when he comes back.
Absolutely. Somebody that just will be able to create. He did a good job of creating space for those guys.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's done it all year, and he knows how to hang on to the puck, and he's getting better defensively. He's getting better on the wall. He's progressed. He's come a long way, and he skates hard. He's a big body who skates hard, and when he arrives at a confrontation, he wins a lot of battles. So he's a good guy to have in your lineup.
The contrast has been with the decoy. You've had the advantage. The decoy has been pretty healthy this year, and most nights you've opted to go with that seventh defenseman. So you've had that luxury also to go a little deeper on defense.
Yeah, we have. We've had, like, we've gone seven a few times because we had some guys playing dinged up. That was one of the reasons. And forwards, we didn't really have enough of them to play an extra forward.
Yeah.
I think from a depth standpoint, probably moving forward, we would probably lend on playing another forward than playing a defenseman. It's harder to get into the rhythm of the game. And if one forward's not going, you can platoon that guy in there and hopefully spark a line or get something going different. So that's something moving forward. We'll have to just continue to look at it, but it's hard because sometimes the guy sits there and he feels like he's rotting, and it's hard to stay in a game. So it's having the extra player is great, but at the same time, it's at times, you know, tough for the player, tough for the team, tough for the coach from a rhythm standpoint. So we'll probably lend on using a forward moving forward if we can keep the backside the right way.
And a goal that both netminders saw action on Saturday at Dartmouth. Competitive at that position now, week to week. How would you characterize that getting ready? I'm not asking you to tell me who the starting goalie is, but how would you characterize that getting ready for the weekend on the road here?
Yeah, it seems like it's been more competitive. I think it's whenever you get a new person in, and there's a bit of an adjustment because we had the four goalies on the ice for the first couple practices. And now Nico is out. He's been injured for the last week, so we've only had three goalies. So it's It's been fine. You know, I think both guys have looked good, and it's just a matter of, you know, comfort. We got to find a guy that can win us a game on the road. You know, when it comes down to it, the only game we've won on the road this year is the first game of the year versus Union, and, you know, we scored 7, and we controlled the entire play for the entire game. And we just, it was one of our better games of the year, and we had a full complement. You know, so we're hoping with Cockrell back in the lineup that can inject some life and into some other lines and just give us a little bit more depth in scoring and in the way we play.
First up this weekend will be Merrimack, and things, it's another one of those buildings. Things have a tendency to happen fast up there. You've had the opportunity. You played at Walter Brown recently. You played up at Dartmouth. Should help when you, as far as going up to Merrimack, as far as the way the building plays.
Yeah, it does. It does. And that building's really small, and the low ceilings. It's there's an awkwardness to the way some of the games are played, because it's a lot of chipping and chasing, and lends to a more half court game. Yeah. Excuse me, I got a little bit of a cough here. So we'll see. You know, every game's different, but we'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
And just not to look too far ahead, but first one against Boston College will be on the road. You know, you're going to see the Eagles at least 3 times. So I know you kind of split this week as far as doing a little bit of preparation for Boston College also, who's been a team that's been one of the hottest teams. They got slowed down a bit by UMass last week, but they'd won 10 in a row. They've obviously been on a good roll here for a while.
Yeah, they've played well. They've got unbelievable goaltending. They've got a really good veteran group of players on that team. I think there's what?
10 seniors.
Yeah, there's a lot of seniors. And they've got a really good freshman class. And in between, they've got some guys that can help them. But they're getting led by, you know, obviously their upperclassmen have done a really good job of leading them and bringing those younger guys along. And their goaltending, if you're north of 940 save percentage, you're winning a lot of games. So he's a bit of a challenge. You know, not a lot of puzzle pieces that fit that one. You know, he's a good one, and he handles the puck well. He allows those D a lot of reprieve going back on it. He's like a third defenseman. So they pose a lot of challenges for teams. They got some size, strength, they got speed, they got skill. So they'll we're not looking past Merrimack, but it's always fun when you can lace them up and play versus a crosstown rival.
And Merrimack, truly a different team. Not surprisingly, Scott Borick, his second season, 14-15 freshmen on that team, and noticed the Central Scouting midterms came out. They've got 3 guys. They're the only team that has 3 guys in the midterms for consideration by Central Scouting. So they've brought in some pretty good players there. Big transition.
Yeah, they've got a transfer from Maine who's a veteran D. He's a big body, and he's got a good shot, and he was good up at Maine, and we expect him to be a big body out there who can create some offense, and he's got some physicality, and they've got a few forwards that are really dangerous. You know, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Grisak or whatnot, but
Grisak,
he's deadly. He can really fire the puck, and he can score. And just overall, they've been in a lot of games. I think the games that have gotten away from them at times. You know, I think if you look at the numbers, it looks like the goalie is trying to find his way at times, you know, and their team's maybe trying to find their way, same way we were.
Yep.
There's no difference. We get a lot of young guys too. Mm-hmm. I think in age, our guys might be a little bit younger than most, but I think in class and building a program and trying to build off, I think there's some similarities of bringing all those bodies in. And so can have some seniors, and I think the recruiting, you know, I think a lot of those guys in that freshman class will graduate, or we'll at least get three years out of them. So there's a lot of positives to the way that works. You know, you just don't want to go 14 seniors and then 14 freshmen, 14 seniors. You want to have a little bit more balance within the classes. But there, any team that Scotty coaches or any team that you go up and play at Merrimack, the building in itself is a challenge, and they've been over the course of time very good at home.
Yes.
And very good in the first period. Yep. They've always gotten off to a good start. And they've had 10 days off, I think.
That's right.
So
7th was their last game.
So they've had some time off to prepare, and We've had some time to play and prepare. So hopefully we're a little sharper than they are early and hungry early.
Well, it's that time of year. I feel like I'm talking to Coach Parker. You're starting to get that cough. Jack used to get it around this time, too. So, I know you're battling that, and you'll be battling Merrimack tomorrow night. Albie, thanks very much for all the answers from Albie. Great to be back with you.
Thanks, Bertie.
Boston University head coach Albie O'Connell. Our answers for Albie, answers from Albie this week on Inside BU Hockey, sponsored by Wicked Bagel. And welcome back once again to this week's edition, our first edition for 2020 of Inside BU Hockey, sponsored by our friends at Wicked Bagel. Wicked Bagel, the best bagel in town on Mass Ave in beautiful Lexington, made right on the premises at Wicked Bagel, so check them out. And with us for our Terrier profile is, one of the two new additions to the Terriers for 2020 for the second semester. He is a centerman. He hails from Sweden, most recently playing in the North American Hockey League, and he's had a big impact. Everybody knows the name Wilmer Skoog. Very quickly, they learn that name if they follow BU Hockey. Wilmer, welcome. Great to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be on here and talk. So, yeah.
Well, looking at your body of work, we'll talk about that at BU so far. But as far as your journey here to BU, you came over to North America. You played in the North American Hockey League for a season and a half. A little bit of a cultural change for you, I'm sure, and particularly the two addresses in the North American Hockey League. You can literally play anywhere in the country, and you did. You went from Minot to Maryland, so you learned a lot about American culture out in the plains of the West and then down the southern East Coast.
Yeah, so it started off with a year in Minot, a great hockey year with a lot of development individually. And then I wanted to explore another part of the States, and I knew I was going to go here and live here for 4 years, so I thought the East Coast looked good, and Maryland was a perfect spot for me to play hockey and keep developing.
As far as your development, more guys have been coming over to North America with an eye on college. Was that your plan? You played in your – I know I made the notes and – you played in the U-16, U-18, Junior, Super Elite, etc. Was that always part of the plan? I want to play college hockey in the United States.
So the year before I moved over here, I had some friends moving over here to play junior hockey, and their goal was obviously to get a scholarship and go to college. And that made me super interested in their journey, and I wanted to do that as well. So. I think playing 1 year and a half in the NHL and then coming here has been great.
As far as the transition, it's been, from all indications, been a smooth one because of what you've done on the ice so far. But you've noticed a lot of guys, they really talk about just how quick things happen. Just the speed of the game is a big adjustment.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a new level of hockey here, and I expected it to be more faster than I played before, more harder and tougher everywhere. And that's exactly how it's been. It's higher compete level on every practice and every game, and it's just tougher overall, I think. But I think I've handled it well and keep getting adjusted to the game. So
we had a guy here just a couple of years ago, called him JFK, Jacob Forsbacher Carlson. You familiar with him?
Yeah, I don't know him personally, but yeah.
And I think similarities to the fact that you came here with a reputation as being very responsible defensively, accountable defensively. You certainly not only play a 200-foot game and have showed signs of how productive offensive, but you got a little edge to your game too. You know, you're not afraid to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I want to play with an edge out there. As you said, mix it up a little bit, and at the same time make some plays and make sure coach is comfortable putting me out there.
And looking here so far, I guess if you have to write a script for your very first game coming to Boston University and playing Division I, I guess the story might end with a game winner in overtime. Just take us through that. Things happen. Speaking of happening quickly, they happened really quickly. It looked like the game was over on the initial shot, and then all of a sudden, well, it was over just seconds later, courtesy of you.
Yeah, so it was a good, cool play there. I was driving to the net, and Mastro got a good shot pass in there and tipped off of my shoulder, and I don't know if it went in or not, but I want to say it didn't. So, yeah, but I just curled up and find a new spot, and Phillips found me. And, yeah, I found a net. So that was it was an awesome feeling seeing that go in the first game. So
absolutely. You didn't waste any time getting rid of it. I noticed that as far as getting rid of the puck, you know, goal scorers, they have a tendency. Sometimes it's not even how hard you shoot. It's just being able to get rid of it quick.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's that's a big part of it in this league, not hold on to the pucks too long and make sure you can get your shots through. So
I know talking to Albie before you came, he said, you know, you do everything hard, you shoot hard, and you pass hard. And I've noticed that you pass the puck with authority. When you're looking to hit a guy, you want to hit him on the tape, and you want to hit him with pretty good speed.
Yeah, I think it's, as I told you before, everything is harder and tougher, so I think it's a big part of being able to fit in on this level, to make everything everything hard and be responsible out there. So, yeah.
And as far as the opportunity to come to BU, how did that come about for you?
So I had I actually knew a guy on the team, Hugo Blix, from before, the other Swede. We played together for 2 years. So I talked a little bit to him, and he said everything here is great. And when Albie called, it was no doubt. I just wanted to go here and be a part of this team and the program. I know it's a great program with a great long history. So, yeah.
You got off to a good start this year in Maryland. You were the top forward in the month of September for the North American League.
Yeah, I had a really good time in Maryland, both on and off the ice, both with the development and, you know, hanging out with the friends, which is a big part of the junior hockey. So, yeah, I'm thankful for what Maryland did to me and all the friends I made there during my months there.
Your first week, overtime game winner here at Aganis against Brown. And then on Saturday up at Dartmouth, you got, well, that was one for the highlight reel at Dartmouth. You've done that before in junior hockey. I got to ask you, do you play lacrosse in Sweden? I mean, it's kind of a lacrosse, a little bit of a skill there.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that before, but I've never seen a lacrosse game before, actually. We don't really have that home, so it's...
I didn't think so, yeah.
It's funny, but, yeah, it's fun. I got to pull it off, and, yeah, that was an awesome feeling as well.
Yeah, gave the Terriers the lead. Too bad as far as that not being able to hold up, but... as far as, you know, the situation, there was a lot of buzz, a lot of attention. You got John Buchagrass, you got some people commenting on that. And, well, they should. It was pretty high-end skilled goal.
Yeah, thank you. it's just practice, I think. You know, keep doing the same thing and try to get better on the small parts of the game, which you get use of sometimes, not too often, but when you get a chance to do it, it's fun when you do it successfully.
And comfortable here so far as your line mates. I know when you work with Mastro and Phillips there, you guys look pretty comfortable out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to play with both of those guys. It's insane how high their hockey skills is, and their hockey IQ is unreal. So it's easy to be out there with those guys. You just get the puck on your tape and just make sure you find an open spot, and you know you'll get the puck. So it's fun to be out there.
And also, I got to ask you, I know it'll be the first time that the Terriers will face Merrimack this season. You'll get to play tomorrow night up at Merrimack. I noticed they got a Swedish product, Hugo Esselin, I believe the pronunciation on the name. First time we'll get to see him. Is someone that you're familiar with?
We played in the same organization in Deer Garden.
Yeah,
exactly. But I don't know him personally either, but I'm sure we'll talk a little bit, and hopefully I'll tell him better luck next time after the game.
That's right. At least you can talk. If you're cursing Swedish, you got one guy that's going to understand you on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Well, Hugo. I'm saying Hugo. Yeah, thank you, Hugo. Wilma, thanks very much. And we're going to make that Skoog chant. It's going to be popular at Aganis Arena after the great first week. And I'm sure you're looking forward now. The Terriers will be into the stretch run with the Hockey East schedule. And my final question here, since you're on the show this week, we're a couple of weeks away. Had you heard of the Beanpot Tournament and the chance to play at the TD Garden, which will be coming up? Not to look too far ahead, but you'll have that chance in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to it. And it's I've seen a lot of videos and read a lot of stuff about it. You know, I haven't experienced it live, but I'm super excited for this upcoming month with both the Bean Pot and the BC this weekend. So, yeah, it's going to be a good month.
Indeed. Thanks very much. Welcome, Wilmer, from everybody, the Terrier Nation here in Boston University. And best to you moving forward, beginning at Merrimack tomorrow night. All the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wilmer Skoog, our guest. He's our Terrier Profile this week on Inside BU Hockey, sponsored by Wicked Bagel.